Blog Talk Radio.
Ta-da! And we are live.
And back.
Yes, it is 7 o'clock Eastern Time, April the 8th on Thursday. Beautiful, beautiful weather outside. I know we always kind of, you know, bring in what we're having in our destination or talked about city, but 81 degrees outside right now in Zephyr Hills, partly sunny skies. It was beautiful today, had a slight breeze, and tomorrow it's going to rain. So.
Well, this evening is supposed to come in and rain a little bit, and then tomorrow, but we could use it.
Yeah.
Not complaining.
Right. And we're on 1,000 mics still, and if you'd like to leave us a comment on 1,000 mics, I have the comment box open up. You can go in there right now, click on the little comment tab underneath that big box, and a little box will open up. You just type your comment, press send, and we'll see it come up on the screen here, and we'll, you know, talk to you over the air, or I'll type back to you, okay? And we're going to talk wine, and if you'd like to call us directly, we'd love to hear from you on the phone lines. It's area code 646-727-3235. Tonight we start on the United States,
United States.
Yes, very specific, and we are going alphabetically, as far as I know. We are going alphabetically, so what do we start with? Let's see, Arkansas.
Alabama.
Alabama. All right, excellent.
Thank you, Buzz.
We'll start that. You know, we can just keep on doing this for, okay. Let's go ahead and do the intro. We'll be back in 1 minute. Ron's with us from Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. I'm Mike. We'll be back with All About Wine, Alabama, coming up in 1 minute.
We have a variety of different spices.
Hold on a second. That was blowing my ears out. I don't know if that sounds on yours. I mean,
it was pretty balanced there.
That was 70%. Let me go 50%. Let's try this again. Sorry, here we go.
We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio and 1000mics.com, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
We welcome your calls during this one-hour program. Go on air with us by dialing area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Ask questions about any topic related to wine or voice your comments about the program. Chat with us on 1000mics.com. Just click on All About Wine in the show listing and send your comment in the comment box. Always entertaining and informative, it's All About Wine. And now, please welcome Ron.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
There we go. Those are the bus people, and I think the bus people came to us from Mobile.
All right.
I have no idea. Because when you think of Mobile, Montgomery, Birmingham, Decatur, Huntsville, all the little towns around there and everything, the first thing you think of is what's that band's name? Oh, that's right, Alabama. There you go.
Alabama.
I also think about wine, apparently, and here we go. This is.
You need to start thinking about wine, because yes. Alabama does do wine.
Yeah, they do. Okay, let's get on with it, and I'll be taking your little notes and calls and comments and everything, and Ron's going to start it up. It's entertaining and informative, and we also have information on your wine fest coming up this Saturday. So
yeah, day after tomorrow. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So here we go. Alabama. Wow.
Alabama. First, I want to thank Mike for covering and putting on best ofs or whatever for the last couple of weeks. I was bottling last weekend and last week, so I wasn't able to do a show in previous to that. I lost my voice and I couldn't do the show then. But bottling, quickly, I'm going to cover that. What a pain. Did a lot of cleaning, which whenever you talk to any winery, they will tell you that the major thing that they do is clean, and that's before bottling, during bottling, after bottling, and all the time. Excuse me. So that's what we did. First thing, we started out doing a lot of cleaning, getting everything cleaned out and everything all set to do the bottling, and we started bottling. We had a skeleton crew this time. We were short a person, which is okay. It didn't hurt us, and it just took us probably a day longer to get everything done because of it. So instead of a three-day job, we ended up doing a four-day job. It was a lot of wines. We put in bottles, a lot of it we blended. I mixed up a new batch of spice, which turned out quite well. I'm yes. thrilled with it.
I can't wait.
sorry, that's... we have a fan. Yes, Mike is a big fan of our spice.
You have several fans. I saw that on your Facebook posting. You have somebody else who's competing with me on how much spice we can buy.
You're absolutely right. In fact, we had a couple who come in today and picked up a case to take with them back north. It's very proper. So we did the spice. It turned out quite well. The orange is not the best batch. I have to say, not the best batch I've ever done, but it's very good. The key lime, I think, is one of the better batches I've came up with. The key limes were really in good shape, and the key lime just is really nice this time. White, I did some white, and the white's always pleasant. It doesn't vary much. I did a nice blend of the three grapes, I always do, and came up with a nice white, which is a good, easy drinking white, as always. I also did a new batch of port this time, and strawberries, quite intense in this batch. Strawberry flavors and taste of the aftertaste of strawberries and the caramel, really quite intense. For some reason, I'm getting an intense strawberry taste, but the aroma is a little bit more subdued in the strawberries, which is odd. I don't know. I played around with and all that, and I was trying to bring out the aroma, and the more I was bringing out the aroma, I was starting to throw all sorts of balance off on pH and different things. And so instead of worrying about the aroma so much, I kept the taste, and everything else was balanced well. And 19, just a little over 19% alcohol this time. Last batch was a little under 19, so this one came in a little over 19. Very nice, though. This batch of port is something I'm really thrilled with. The strawberry flavors are just really phenomenal on this one. So a little bit about our bottling. I had to tell about the bottling. And again, thank you, Mike, for covering last week while I was doing the bottling. Believe me, I'd much rather have been sitting here on the microphone talking about wine than doing that. That is a lot of hard work.
But then we would be sitting around here going, okay, when is the wine going to be here?
That's right. That's exactly what would happen too. Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
So Alabama, we're going to start talking about the United States, like Mike said at the beginning here. We're going to start talking about each state, and we figured that the best way to do this would be to talk about them alphabetically, simply because it's going to be easier for us to remember where we were and what we've done instead of having to worry about it. And so Alabama, being the first state listed in the list of states, we're going to start with Alabama. I have to say, if it continues on, each of the states and each of the wineries, as I started on Alabama, this is going to be so much fun. This is really going to be quite a kick talking to these different wineries and different people. I talked to a couple of people yesterday and another person today, and really a good time. They were telling me a whole bunch of stuff about histories of Alabama wines and about the wines themselves and what they've done and different things. And it was just really a lot of fun. And I will try to share that with you now. If any of you three are listening that I talked to yesterday, if I get any facts or anything wrong, we'll pause a couple of times and Mike can throw in phone numbers and ways to get a hold of us again. And please get in touch and we'll correct me right here on the air. I don't mind at all. I tried to scribble my notes down as fast as I could while everyone was talking, but I was having so much fun talking to them. Sometimes I'd forget to scribble something down that I need to take down. Alabama grows basically muscadine grapes. This is the majority of grapes coming out of Alabama is the muscadine family. These are characterized by being larger grapes, usually much sweeter, a lot of seed, tough skin, but they make for a sweet wine, a style of wine that either people love or hate. And I have to honestly say that there's the people who drink the vinifera grapes, the Chardonnays and Merlots and Cabernets and all that family of grapes usually stay away from the muscadine and frown on it and have bad things to say about the Muscadine grape, whereas the people who drink the Muscadine grapes and stuff like that swear that they're the best ones out there and the best wines that can be made from them, and these are phenomenal, and everyone should give it a chance. It's just a matter of opinion. Different people will like different things, as is with everything, and the Muscadine grape definitely has a niche. It's a southeastern grape, if you really you want to look at it. You know, if Muscadine grape is a native grape that has grown up in this part of the world and this part of the country, and it's makes for a pleasant wine. And they've different places have hybrided them, have changed them, have came out with different varieties of the Muscadine. Norton being one of them, which is really a nice Muscadine grape and a nice Muscadine wine. Plus, there's lots of others, Carlos and Scuppernong's and a whole variety of them out there that. I'm sorry, my engineer just said something. Yeah. The Muscadine is what you're going to find in Alabama. These are the grapes there. So I checked different websites and stuff like that, and I found one website, and I do have to give it credit, called Wines by State. And I clicked on that, and it has all the states broken down and tells a list of wines for each one. And I went on to that, and I looked up Alabama, and Alabama being obviously the first. And they have eight wineries listed. Wow. Most of the wineries I found out, and there's only four full-time wineries in Alabama.
Wow.
The rest of them are part-time, if you will. They only open on Friday and Saturday. Now, Alabama law states that you cannot open the winery on Sunday. So there is no wine tasting on Sunday and wine sales on Sunday and all that. So four wineries are open the rest of the week, and then the other seven are part-time wineries. They are open Friday and Saturday. And I tried to call just about every one of those and emailed every one of those. And no response, no answers on the phone. Most of them went to an answering machine, so more than likely right to the tasting room or right to the winery, and they don't answer during the week, but or not open. Sometimes they could be not answering simply because they were doing other things and stuff and just didn't just let the machine do it. But I did get a hold of three. Got a hold of three different wineries. I want to start talking about the one that is the oldest winery in Alabama, Jim Eddins, E-D-D-I-N-S, Jim Eddins is the proprietor. I called the winery that he is the owner and winemaker of, and that is Perdido Winery, P-E-R-D-O Vineyards, Perdido Vineyards. Now, Perdido Vineyards, let me tell you about where it's located. Perdido Vineyards is right on the border of Alabama and Florida. There is Perdido Creek that runs down through there. Perdido Lake becomes Perdido River, and it is bordered by Perdido Vineyards. It has been there for Perdido Vineyards has been operating since 1977. So he's been well established there, but he's went through different trying times during those years. I called yesterday and got a hold of a lady in the tasting room, and she said that Jim wasn't in, but she was a neighbor, and she was running the tasting room and was taking care of it because he was out running around and doing a lot of stuff most of the time. He still does survey and still does some engineering work on the side and not full time at the winery. But this the neighbor of hers, and she told me her name two or three times, and I don't have it written down. Shame on me. I want to say Betty was her name, and I bet you if I looked her enough, I will run across that name. But she was telling me that that Jim is the one that I would need to talk to really find a little bit of history about Alabama wines. And so I emailed Jim and told him what I was doing, that I was searching Alabama wines, and left my phone number and email address. He called me today, We spent over an hour on the phone. The man was a joy to talk to. He's 77 years old. He's an ex-Marine. He has worked in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol under a couple of different presidents over the years. He's just really was quite a character. And Jim, if you're listening, you know you are, so I don't need to apologize to it. Started in making and working with wines in Pensacola at Bartels. And Bartels is located right across the border from Alabama. And they have been making wines and stuff there for many years. They have a vineyard that was established in 1898 around that area there. And they survived Prohibition by shipping wine to Germany. Bartels is an old German winery. And they survived Prohibition by shipping the wines that they made to Germany. And they made it through Prohibition and everything. Now, Alabama side of the slope or side of the hills and all that. So Jim helped Bartels there. For a number of years and worked with Bartels. Bartels was open from 1937 to 1978, around there. Pensacola has an Irish pub called McGuire's Irish Brew Pub, and it's located in Pensacola. They have a room set up with all the old barrels and a lot of the old winery stuff from Bartels. All around the room. It's a dining room, and everything is set up from the winery, the barrels and the all the stuff that they can salvage from the winery is used in this room as decor. And from what Jim says, it's quite a place to see, quite a tourist attraction. So if anyone out there gets an opportunity to visit Pensacola, McGuire's Irish Pub, Irish Brew Club, is he says quite an attraction because of this winery room. But the 1971-72, a man by the name of Ralph Dieter, who founded the winery, Bartels, died. So Jim stepped in and made a winery on the Alabama side of the border. This was in 1977. He started to do that. He was the first winery that was licensed in Alabama since a Prohibition. Therefore, Perdido Vineyards has the designation of Perdido Vineyards License Number 1 for Alabama, which is quite distinct to be the first one. To give you an idea, Florida State's vineyard has our license number 51. So we there's been 51 previous licenses before we got ours, and we've been in operation for 9 years ourselves. So being number one, it goes back quite a ways. Now, he started to explain to me some of the problems they went through, though. Alabama is not, and this isn't just Jim who has told me that, but I also got this same story from Charles Bramer Sr., who is the proprietor and owner of Morgan Creek Winery. From Janie, and of whom I talked to, from Wills Creek, telling me about how Alabama has continuously battled the wineries. Now, the wineries have continuously battled the government legislation in Alabama. I've been to states around the country, and we'll get into them more, that are extremely winery-friendly. Kentucky is the first one that comes to mind. They do everything they can to promote their wineries and do what they can. Whereas Alabama, it's been an ongoing battle between the legislatures and the wineries. And I'll tell you, Jim Eddins has been in the forefront of this battle for the wineries. He spends more time battling government than he does doing wine. It's just something that he is has made his cause. Back when the winery opened, the President Carter administration came in, he approached the President Carter administration to get a loan for the winery. And because he had connections, being an ex-Marine and stuff like that, he knew the people to talk to and all that. And so they made a loan, and in August 1979, he opened up Perdido Vineyard Winery in Alabama. 1 month later, they closed it down. The government came in, and all the administrators and everybody came in and said, we're closing this winery down. The government's going to run it now. And Jim said, how do you know anything about running a winery? And he said, basically, they answered, we don't, but we're the government. We can do what we want. So they took over and started to run the winery. And they did a very poor job of it, to say the least. Jim said that he took his license after the first month, put it in an envelope, and wrote on it, I am turning in my license. I am not going to have any responsibility for this. I am voluntarily getting out of it. I no longer have anything to do with it. And he said that was probably one of the better moves that he made, because the government ran the winery into the ground. What also happened was that the federal government who was running it was in direct conflict with the state laws and also federal laws. So it shows you how the government doesn't talk to each other. They were in conflict with each other. And so they came to the point where they were not licensed. They were not turning in the monies that they supposed to and paying their monthly fees and everything. And so the other branch of government came in and shut them down for moonshine, because basically that's what it was. They weren't doing anything legally, and so anything that's not legal is moonshine. And so another branch of government came in and stopped them from making wine and doing that. The during the Reagan administration, they wanted to take over the winery, but Jim fought this. And actually, I shouldn't say the government was in charge of it. Actually, it was more bankers and lawyers. It was a bunch of bankers and lawyers that were backed by the government. The bankers and lawyers were doing everything. The bankers were coming in and saying, okay, this is the money we have. The lawyers were coming in and saying, you can do this, you can do that. And, you know, Jim would tell them, you know, I don't tell you how to run a bank. I don't tell you how to practice law, but you're coming here trying to tell me how to run a winery. And basically they ran it into the ground. 8 years Jim battled them from throughout the 80s. He battled them. And finally, when they came in and closed them down, fined them for moonshining, Jim said that he walked in on a meeting and sat down with the lawyers and the bankers and said, this is what we're going to do. He said, I've got this money in the bank. And the way he told the story, and Jim, if you're listening, I hope I tell this right. He says he was going to this meeting. He stopped by the bank, a bank, pulled out all the money that was in his pockets, and opened up a passbook savings account. Had him give him a passbook. He went to this meeting, and as he was sitting across the table, he says, I'll tell you what. He says, I'll give you everything that's in my savings account for the winery back, but I want to held completely non-liable for everything that you've done. I want my slate clean. I don't want to have to pay back taxes and back fees. I don't want to have to battle. I want everything, my name cleared. I don't want you to come back with it later or anything else. And he said the lawyer reached across to grab the passbook, and Jim said, and I grabbed his wrist, and he said, no, once that is presented to me in writing, you can have the passbook. And he said the lawyer let go of the passbook. He said that afternoon he signed the papers and everything was given back to him, all free and clear, wow. And he gave him the passbook. He said, I'm not going to tell you how much was in there, he said, but it wasn't over $100. So he got everything back by playing smart. And he talking to him, this is he He is smart. He's a smart man. So he did this. But 8 years he battled the government. And so he finally got his winery back. In 2002, the state of Alabama decided that there'd be no more farm license issued, and those who had it couldn't have a farm winery anymore. So again, Jim started on the bandwagon. How can you tell farmers that we can't operate, regardless of if it's a winery or not? How can you tell farmers we can't operate? And so he started to make wine vinegar, and which was another aspect of it, but being non-alcoholic, it wasn't wine fermented, it was just vinegar, and went on to the stage of vinegar, and so he was able to make wine vinegar. And so that kept him going, that kept things going, and now he is... he's still battling everyone. He told me a story that a local minister down there, a Baptist minister, and not because there's anything against Baptists, it's just that it happened to be a Baptist minister. And you have to realize Alabama is a major Bible Belt, major Bible Belt. There are dry counties and there are wet counties, and dry cities and wet cities. And I'll get into that in a little bit here. But Baptist minister. There was a big Baptist convention being held in Alabama back, back in the early 2000s. And this Baptist minister started to get on the governor. He started to get on the attorney general, and he also started to attack the wineries. Well, Jim said that when he started to attack the wineries, he said that was going a little bit too far. So he went to one of the meetings where the Baptist minister got up there on the stage, and Jim said, I sat right in the front row. He said, for 45 minutes, I listened to this minister go on and on about the evils of the wineries and about this and that. He said, after 45 minutes, I went up there, and I stood behind him, and he moved out of the way. He said, I didn't shove him. I didn't push him. He said, he moved out of the way. I stepped up to the microphone, and I said, now let me read you what the Bible says. And he said, I started to read from the Bible different things about what concerned wines and what the Bible had to say, quotes from the Bible about the evils of drink. And he said, and I read them about the wedding and God turning water into wine. And he said, and he didn't use anything else. He didn't use Pepsi or 7-Up or Sprite or Coke. He said he used water. And he said he turned water into wine. He said, and that's what we do. We use water with our wines and stuff. And he said, I talked for about 15 minutes. He said, now, this was a pretty big deal. He said, because this was picked up by the United Press and ran around the world. He said it was on the evening news and all sorts of stuff. He said, this got a lot of press. He said, this put me right up there in the spotlight. And I said, well, you can imagine it did. So he said, he's starting to settle down a little bit now, except that, he said less than, a year or two ago, he was out at an appointment that he had to go to, and he said a doctor's appointment, and the neighbor lady was in there, and she told me this, too, that she was in this happen. She was working, and here comes the feds. No warrant, no anything. They come in there, they close the place down, tell everybody to leave. They go around, they start checking on stuff. They confiscate two bottles of vodka out of the refrigerator.
Oh, my gosh.
And they fined him $500 for each bottle because they were not licensed for having the vodka in there and for making vodka. And they close everything down. So Jim said that he immediately got his lawyer, and he went down, and he said he had to wait a couple of days, he says, because he knew if he went down too soon that he would have ended up being thrown in jail. So he waited a couple of days. He said he went down there, and he said, who was the one that's in charge of doing this? Who was the one that initiated this raid? Well, finally they pointed the finger at the person who was in charge, and he said that he looked at the man, and he says, you need to lose your job. He said, to begin with, he said, if you will look at that vodka, it has a seal of Tennessee on it. He said, it's not even Alabama vodka. It's Tennessee vodka. He says, I drove up there. I got a couple of bottles of it because it's high alcohol. He says, keep it in my refrigerator because I use it as a cleaning agent, as a disinfectant. He said, you ask anybody, high alcohol like that mixed with water is one of the best disinfectants you can use, and I use it on my bottling lines. He says, so that's what the vodka was for, is for my bottling lines. And he said, you didn't have a warrant to come in there and do all that. You didn't have anything else. And he said, he turned and he looked at the governor, and the governor was in the meeting with him. He said, you need to fire that man. He said, because I'll tell you, it's going to come back to haunt you. Well, the man was fired, and Jim said he went back to his winery. And it's just, he said, it's a constant battle in Alabama to get things done, to get things taken care of, to get things happening there. And because of this, he has he distributes now to 5 states, and Florida being one of them. He's right there, and he picked up license to distribute 5 states. He he does over 100,000 gallons of wine a year. Figure for 750-milliliter bottle, 2.38 is how many gallons it takes for a case. So 2.38 gallons in a case of wine. So if you you do your 100,000 divided over a little less than 50,000 gallons of cases of wine he does a year. Wine now in Alabama can be over 16.5%. For a long time, they kept the law down, so it couldn't be over 16.5%. It had to be below 16.5%. And just recently, they raised that from 16.5% to go up higher. Jim says he thinks that is because some of these specialty beer places are passing the 16.5% mark, and so they've lobbied to get it higher. It has nothing to do with the wineries, but they can't just raise it for beer and not wine, and so they did it for everything. So he's now looking at doing a couple of wines over 16.5%. He has a license to manufacture, which he does distilling, brewing, and fermentation. He also sells directly to the public out of the winery. He does 17 wines, a variety of grape wines and fruit wines. He is working on doing some fruit liqueurs since the alcohol can be higher now. He's looking at making some fruit liqueurs that will probably be around, he said, 19-20% alcohol. And doing basically citrus, different types of citrus liqueurs, orange and grapefruit and tangerine. Also different berries, blueberries. He says he's got a big blueberry farm close to where the winery is. And also with the muscadine grapes. So he's looking at starting on these fruit liqueurs reasonably soon. He has 50 acres planted now. He does buy a lot of grapes, he says, from local areas and all that. He's not looking at planting too much more in the near future anyway, from what I gathered from him. He's happy with what he's doing now. I'm purchasing the grapes from local places and putting it together himself. He was a kick, I have to tell you. The man was just, he was so much fun. He kept talking. I had to interrupt him to ask him the questions, how many acres, had to interrupt him asking him how, you know, where he distributes, what he does. You can tell that his purpose was to battle the government, and it is and it has been his mission to battle the government for years. And he said, I'm an ex-Marine. He said, I help guard presidents and stuff like that. He said, but I'll tell you, these government people, just let it go with that. He didn't say anything more. so he was quite a joy. I also talked to another elderly gentleman, Charles Bramer Sr. Charles Bramer Sr. is the owner and proprietor of Morgan Creek Vineyard, located in Alabama. I'm not sure exactly what spot it is. I looked on there. Some of these places don't have maps, and so I'm not sure exactly where they were located. Morgan Creek is located on Morgan Creek Lane in Harpersville, Alabama. So if anyone knows where Harpersville is. Also, anybody out there listening to me in fact, I'll pause for a second here and get a sip of wine and let Mike give you phone numbers and contact information for us right now. So, Mike, if you'd like to do that.
Yeah, I was actually looking up Harpersville because I usually do some fact-finding stuff while you're trying to locate stuff. Anyway, give us a call. Get on the phone lines. We'd love to hear from you, whether or not you're in Alabama or you're just joining us on the program. You want to maybe you want to ask a question or offer your comments towards all this. It's very interesting, and I'm taking notes as well. But give us a call. We'd love to hear from you that you're listening, and add a comment about what we're talking about or what Ron's talking about. Area code 646. That's area code 646. That is located. The International Space Station or something, I don't know, but it's a very close.
Could be.
Long distance rate supply. It's area code 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235. We're talking about Alabama. You can ask anything about wine, and this is really cool stuff. It's interesting.
It's fun.
Especially after you cover all the other countries and how, they've evolved after, hundreds of years. And here we are in the U.S. and a state, Alabama is giving them so many problems that they have to fight over it. It's like, come on.
Exactly. And they're still fighting, too. I mean, it's not like, it's just like, okay, it's still fighting and everything. Let me cover this too, and I might have said something about this a while back, but I do want to talk about it quickly here.
Sure.
The distribution in this country, back when Prohibition took effect, it was illegal to make wine. It was illegal to make spirits, anything. We stopped production, and everybody's familiar with the pictures of the revenueers breaking open barrels and stuff of different things that are distilled and all that. In 1933, Prohibition was repealed. At that time, the federal government said, okay, we're going to repeal Prohibition. States, take over. Make your laws, do it. It's back to you now. The federal government's backing out of it. It's up to the states to take care of it. At that time, the state says, okay, what are we going to do? Distributors were very strong at the time. And, I'm not trying to say it was or was not organized crime, but organized crime was very strong in the early mid-30s, and a lot of organized crime was distribution centers and stuff, our distributors. So the state set up a system, a three-tier system, where you have a manufacturer, you have a distributor, and you have retail. Most states would not allow you to have all three licenses. You can have two, but you couldn't have three. Some states said you can only have one, you can't have two. If you are a manufacturer, you cannot be a distributor. Mm-hmm. Well, because of this, distributors became very powerful. And there's some powerful distributors. I mean, some multi-million dollar companies, billion dollar companies around this country are distributors, and it serves its purpose very well. I mean, Southern Wine and Spirits, located on Miami, headquarters in Miami, is a very big company. They cover basically southeastern United States and their distribution, and they get stuff out to the stores and get stuff around. A big company. Because of the need to have a distributor, it's very hard for small businesses, small wineries particularly, to get their items distributed, because distributors are there to make money, obviously, and it's really not worth taking a small amount of cases, a few hundred at the most, and distributing a little bit here and there. And if they don't sell, the distributors don't want to mess with it. And also, it adds price to the cost of the wines and spirits, whatever. So a lot of small wineries do not have their product distributed in this country because of that. Well, a few years ago, Michigan and some wineries there started to scream that this was illegal. It was illegal to and discriminatory against the small businesses not to distribute and not to be able to distribute. And they asked for a license. They asked for some way to do it. They asked for being able to ship to other states and stuff like that, not go through a distributor. At the same time, New York State and the wineries there started to scream and say, hey, that's right. Something needs to be done. It went to courts, and courts were ruling for and against, and it was appealed, and then another court ruled against it, and then it was appealed, another court ruled for it. And this bounced back and forth until, well, Ralph Nader took over the cause, and it went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court heard the argument that having to go through distributors makes an unfair burden on small wineries and small businesses, and basically small wineries, and it needs to be changed. So what they were asking the Supreme Court to rule on the fact, what can be done about this? Is this right? The Supreme Court heard the argument in a 242-page ruling, I believe it was a 242-page ruling, they came out with the answer, it's not fair. And it took them 242 pages to say, it's not fair. Then they said, okay, states, it's back to you. And they threw it back to the states. So when they did this, all the states started to climb around now and say, okay, what are we going to do? And now that's the problem. Every state is trying to get it so they know what they're doing. Now, I talked to, and that's a little background, because I talked to Charles Bramer from Morgan Creek Winery. Mm-hmm. He makes a lot of wine. He does about 15,000 cases a year. He gets local fruit. He does about 40 tons of local fruit every year. He has a son, Charles Bramer Jr., who just goes by Jr., and his son has a distributor's license. His son has nothing to do with the winery except for the fact that he has his office in the winery, but he has his distributor's license. He distributes to different businesses and different stores and all that. He distributes to over 400 stores in Alabama and Mississippi of the wine that Morgan Creek makes. But it's legal because he has nothing to do with the winery, and so his name is not a winery distributor license, and the winery has nothing to do with the distributorship. It's just that they share a building, which is okay. This is the Alabama law. Alabama law states you can't have both licenses. Now, because Charles Sr. has the manufacturer license and retail license, he cannot have distributorship. His son, Junior, does have distributorship, so they take care of everything there. Now, Charles Bringer Sr., he's the old man of the thing, and if you go to Morgan Creek Vineyard, there's a picture of him and his son and his wife on there, and he's been in the business for quite some time. He worked as an insurance man for many years. About 25 years ago, he had a dream of opening up a winery, and he said that everybody told him that, you know, if you open up a winery, it's going to end up costing you about $10,000, and he didn't have the money for it, he didn't have the means to come up with it. He said, but now he's got over $2 million in his winery, so he said it doesn't make a big difference what they tell you. He said, once you start, it's going to cost you money. He does a lot of fruit wines. He's for 6 months when he opened, he couldn't sell wines to stores until he got his license. And they charge $25 a year for the license. But now they're starting to realize that they can charge more for the license to sell to distributors and sell to stores. So now it's costing him $1,000 a year for this. And again, we go back to the government of Alabama. Underlying thing I've heard from everyone I've talked to about Alabama is the government and how they seem to be battling them instead of helping them all the time. And you have to give a hand to the Alabama wineries and Alabama effort to continue doing this, even with the battle that they do with the government. The Morgan Creek Winery has over 25,000 people a year go through the winery. Very busy winery. Harpersville, have you looked it up? Did you find that?
Yes, I did. It is just south of Vincent, Alabama.
Okay. Which is in what section?
I was waiting for the, yeah. Okay, southeast of Birmingham.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, so, oh, Vincent. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Vincent, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, I know. Yeah, Vincent. Okay.
The Talladega Forest, I think, is near there, southeast of Birmingham. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's for the wineries. Okay. He does Muscadine grapes. He opened in 2000. He said he started to do really full production and everything about 2001, and that's about the same time we opened the winery. Florida State Winery opened in December 2001. So he said, we're pacing off together. I said, yeah, except for the fact that I don't have 25,000 people a year come to the winery. They are closed on Sundays again. The law in Alabama states they have to be closed on Sundays. They do Muscadine wines. He also does a blueberry wine. He does a dry, a semi-sweet, and a sweet blueberry wine. Mm. He does an apple wine, a peach wine, a noble grape, which he does a couple of those, a dry and an off-dry one, a white wine. He's an off-dry white wine. He does a red blend, which is very pleasant. He's really a blush wine, which is the white Zin style. We all do that. Everyone does a blush wine of some sort. He does a sweet muscadine, which is a very popular wine. He's one of his most popular ones. And he does a Carlos Red Number 1. That is the number one seller that he does. He said it's very, very popular. He said the back to the government, they have state stores in Alabama. Wine and spirits are sold through state stores. So they're referred to as green fronts, simply because the front of the stores have green glass on them. And he said most people refer to them as the green fronts. These things have to go through the state stores and have to be handled through the state stores so the government can get their share of the money. He said, but they charge so much more. A lot of people drive across the border, and Alabama government, listening to this, consider this. You're losing business because people are just driving across the border and buying cheaper in surrounding states.
Oh, yeah.
Help out your people instead of battling them. But he has 8 acres now, and he's looking at planting 50 acres total. So he's very aggressive on what he's planning on doing. They're doing weddings. They did about 12 or 13 last year, mm. And he's looking at increasing that. Now you have to realize, too, that it gets a little bit cold up there in the wintertime, so he's not going to do too much outdoor weddings. So these are just during the season. But he does weddings, and he's getting a big tent, so that it'd be even better for weddings. They do a grape stomp event every year where they have a actual contest for grape stomp, and they have a I Love Lucy lookalike contest in tribute to the I Love Lucy episode where she stomped grapes. And they get quite a bit involved in local events and local things and music in the vineyards and 4th of July big fireworks displays and all that. And they have a tremendous amount of events scheduled throughout the year. Morgan Creek, I was really quite impressed again with this gentleman and the vineyard and what he was telling me about that stuff. 19 tanks, all stainless steel. They don't use oak.
Wow.
55,000 gallon capacity on all the tanks. So it's really quite an operation there. He said it's overpowered. And he said he was an insurance salesman. And he said he thought he worked hard there. He said it was nothing compared to what he's been doing here. He said, but this is really a labor of love. He just absolutely loves this. So it was quite a joy talking to him. But Charles Brammer Sr., quite another character in the winery business. And then I called Wills Creek. Vineyards, Wills Creek Vineyards. Use exit 183 or 181, connect to US 11, go north to a four-way stop at Reese City, and follow the signs to Wills Creek, alternate route to Wills Creek off of I-59, because I-59 is going to have construction through most of 2010, so they're guiding people around it. Located in Duck Springs, Alabama, Wills Creek is. So I'll let Mike find out what Duck Springs is. Oh, wait a minute. So Duck Springs Road at Atala, A-T-T-A-L-L-A, Alabama. Located in Duck Springs, Alabama. And then active wineries, one of three active wineries north of I-20. Atala, Alabama, I guess is their address. But I called there. The lady I talked to, Janie, was the one who answered the phone. Her husband, John, and her run this winery. They opened in December 2001, same date as Florida State Winery opened. I was quite excited about that coincidence. They had been growing muscadine grain since 1996. They had 12 acres. They planted 12 acres in 1996, and the production actually time the grapes grew and they got something to make wine, they opened in December 2001. They do a lot of Noble, which is a muscadine, a Regal, and Carlos. They have seven muscadine wines. A Ruby Red, a semi-sweet wine. But the 2007 drought really did quite a number on the grapes. A serious drought in 2007, as we here in Florida can attest to. We've been under the same drought for a long period of time. The 2007 drought really made the Ruby Red a sweet wine. It really jumped out and gave it a lot of flavors, a lot of characters. Her husband, John, is from Switzerland. His family's from Switzerland. And for generations, they've had vineyards in Switzerland, and they've had wineries in Switzerland. And we talked about Swiss wine. I don't know if we mentioned his or not. We may have. But for generations to have there. And John used to go over to Switzerland every year in October, fly back home to help with the harvest and help with the picking and all that. And Danny would fly over also and work there. But then when they planted their vineyards here, it became in conflict with it. They are having to spend a lot more time working here than over there. And he's missed some of the harvest, which he's done. But the family has a tradition of generations of wines in Switzerland. They do a muscadine grape. They tried to do an American hybrid grape, they said, but they ended up dying. They couldn't get any American hybrid grapes to grow. But the muscadine grape has been very, very prolific for them and been very good for them. They do about 1,000 cases a year right now, all in stainless steel tanks. Janie did say they tried to do some oak for some muscadine grapes at the beginning to just see what happens. And she said, and muscadine just doesn't take well to oak. She said, it doesn't give you a nice wine. So they're staying with the muscadine with no oak. They are opening a new winery, a branch, a new winery, new shop, whatever you want to call it, in Birmingham. By this summer, and I told him I'd definitely give him a plug for this. The winery's going to be called Pepper Place because it is occupying an old Dr. Pepper manufacturing building, and so the winery will be there. Winery will carry a lot of the same wines, obviously, as Wills Creek. The harvest last year, they said, was cool and wet, a very late harvest for them. They're not sure how the wines are going to come out this year because it was such a cool, wet harvest this past year. Janie was telling me a lot about the dry and wet counties of Alabama. Alabama has a lot of dry counties where you can't do anything. I mean, just basically dry. And then there are wet counties speckled all around. She told me a story about one county that was dry, and the city within the county voted to become wet, voted to sell wines and liquors and stuff and to collect revenue. Well, after about 4 or 5 years, the county started to see how much money the city was bringing in from the sale of liquor. And so the county sued the city for their share of the money. And the county lost. And so, again, government in Alabama, you know, it just...
Oh, gosh.
I know, it's amazing. One of the things Charles told me, he said that the legislature is there and all that. The wording in the thing is not alcohol. It is not, you know, alcohol. It's intoxication, and intoxicating liquors and intoxicating drinks. He said the old Bible Belt, the old Bible Belt people there. He said the wording is still intoxication. And he said, you got to watch for the possibilities of being intoxicated, not, you know, from drinking, but intoxication, which has more of a connotation than actual alcohol. So it was quite an education.
Yeah, definitely.
Janie at Wills Creek, thank you very much. She did she was one of the first ones I got a hold of, and she was just more than happy. They have four full-time people at the winery. They distribute to 11 states, which is really, you know, quite a few. Jim Edens at Perdido Vineyards, what a joy. He quite a character. When he called me, I told him, I said, I guess I need to talk to you. You're the old man of Alabama wines. And he laughed and says, I suppose I am. And then Morgan Creek Winery, Charles Bramer Sr., another character, a man that has quite a passion for what he does and enjoys talking about it. So it was really a lot of fun. I had a ball searching this, and I hope every state, every week after this is as much fun as this one has been.
Yeah, definitely. That was really cool. Oh, great. The bus people are still here? Yes, very entertaining. The city, Atala, Alabama, is located north of Northeast Alabama Regional Airport.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, how about northeast of Birmingham off of Interstate 59?
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's quite an interstate trip down there. But, yeah, that's going to be cool to have the Pepper Place opening. And
yeah, the Dr. Pepper's building, yeah. I told her I'd give her a plug for that. So you got your plug there. That's
Dr. All right. let's see. I need to I forgot to play something during the break because I was looking up stuff and talking. But you have Wine Fest this Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yeah, and let me cue this up, and I'll be back in 43 seconds. Hold on just a second.
Coming up this Saturday, it's Wine Festival, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Florida Estates Winery. Enjoy live music, food, homemade crafts, and unique gift items, and more. And, of course, world-class wines from Florida Estates Winery. This event is free and open to the public. Enjoy the great outdoor setting at the winery this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Wine Festival, located at 25241 State Route 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. For more information, call 813-996-2113 or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. It's always a great day at Florida Estates Winery.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do have to point out, too, that we're going to have ourselves a person that sells candles there.
Yes.
Mike's wife will be selling candles this Saturday for us. So great.
Yep. Email. Oh, my God. You know, there goes the countdown already. And I still have, let's see, some other stuff here going on. Let's see. So visit the winery, and Saturday is going to be a great day.
It's supposed to be beautiful. It's supposed to be beautiful here.
Yep, and get away from the crowds at the beach because it's still spring break out here, and you want to go to the winery. It's a great location, plenty of parking. Bring your friends, bring your bus, whatever you want to bring, and it'll all fit out there. Great parking. What do we have? 96. Thank you, whatever your name is. And I don't know if the people on Blog Talk Radio are hearing that, but
I don't know.
1,000 Mike says. But, you know, while you were talking about Alabama, I wish I had a soundboard with a bunch of cartoon sound effects on it. Maybe I'll get one for next next time we do a Bible Belt one, because every time you mention, you know, the county's doing this and they're suing because the city's, you know, making this money off, you know, it's
right.
Like, I just want to hear some kind of like cartoon noises or something. What are you doing?
I know. They're battling him. Why did he battle them?
All this fighting, if you'd have stopped all the fighting, the state could be making the money, the county could be making the money. It's you know.
And the wineries could thrive.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sounds like they're doing great, you know, just
in despite of it, yes.
Yeah, yeah, do your thing, and oh, okay, great.
Almost
we have 10
done.
Seconds. Thank you, Ron. It was enjoyable.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, people.
I was able to take a lot of notes without having to worry about spelling, and we'll see you all next Thursday.
See you next Thursday.
Oh, wow, they're off.
And 1,000 Mike people, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next Thursday.
Thank you, 1,000 likes. We'll see you all next Thursday. We'll pick the next date up and go from there. Thank you all, and we will see. Hang on.